Welcome to another edition of the PW Mania Hot Tag Wrestling Podcast. I am your host, Justin C., joined by my co-host, Cam, and the chairman, Stephen Vincent, as we continue to march down the road to WrestleMania, as we are now less than 2 weeks away from WrestleMania 40 in Philadelphia. So we'll talk about the continued build for that show. We'll talk about some of the stuff Ronda Rousey said in a recent book and some of the trash talking she's been doing when it comes to backstage stuff from the WWE. And we're also going to play a little bit of a WrestleMania by the Decades game, where they have a list of three topics for each WrestleMania, and or for each set of WrestleManias, I should say. And we're just going to go through and give our answers for all of them to end the show here as we, like I said, continue to talk WrestleMania. And I think, you know, the big story or the hot topic talking right now is the show this past Monday on Raw, which has, if you're Tony Khan and like going by cage match rankings, it is the highest highest rated, but the last time I saw it, it was the highest rated non-memorial episode of Raw. And I mean, I gotta agree, everything about that show this past Monday was great. I mean, you go from the Cody Rock interaction to start the show with an ending with The Rock busting open Cody Rhodes backstage and getting his Cody's blood on his Brahma Bull belt with the trucks of John Cena and Stone Cold Steve Austin's pictures in the background. Maybe a little bit foreshadowing there. You had Becky knock out Dominic Mysterio. You had a great promo battle between CM Punk, Drew McIntyre, and Seth Rollins in the middle of the 9 o'clock hour of the show. The Ricochet JD and McDonough match was really good. Everything was just kind of like it's been saying, everything seems to be hitting on all cylinders right now for Raw. And I think Monday night was just the high point of the build to WrestleMania. Chairman, let's start with you. What were your thoughts on this past Monday's Raw?
Yeah, it definitely started to set the table for WrestleMania. I felt like some of the past few Raws were kind of just, they were good but not great. But I think this one really, you know, hit all cylinders. I think having the final boss, Rock, show up unexpected, you know, just elevated everything with the Cody program. Because, like, I know Roman Reigns pretty much called him a politician, you know, last SmackDown. And, you know, some people are saying Cody looked weak in that promo. But I think, you know, everyone's going to have their opinion. And I think Cody's still, like, the top babyface by far. Like, people are still backing him. You know, it might be a few years before we get to the We Hate Cody, like, We Hate Cena phase. But, you know, we're going to go for the ride right now with the American Nightmare. You know, the final boss, Rock, could be one of the better villains in the wrestling business we've seen in a while. I mean, right up there probably with prime tribal chief Roman Reigns. Not this year's tribal chief, he's bitch, but you know, there was some peaks with Roman. But I mean, Drew McIntyre's still killing it as well. He's right up there with final boss Rock as far as like villains go. Like, he's been phenomenal. Like, he's in CM Punk's turf wearing those CM Punk t-shirts, you know, just getting under his skin. And Seth Rollins gets involved, and obviously there's beef with all those guys. I think a triple threat match between those three is in the cards at some point, just a matter of when Punk is cleared. But I mean, those are the two big stories. I mean, you look at all the other layers of the show, and it was well done.
Yeah, I agree. Like you said, it felt like everything that was happening was pretty important from start to finish. Hell, even this little angle they got going on with Candice LeRae, you know, they're giving her something to do. It felt like every single segment from this past Monday had some sort of meaning to it. And that's exactly what you want from a wrestling show like this. You want there to be meaning in every single segment, even if it's, like I said, a Ricochet JD McDonough match that plays into the story of Judgment Day that's going on right now. So everything about it just flowed so well, I thought, and was really good. Cam, what were your thoughts?
I think Raw's been very easily watchable for the last, well, I don't know, almost a year. This past week was no exception. I mean, I can't remember what wrestler said it, but I read someone did an interview, and they said that, you know, with Triple H in charge, like, everyone has something to do. It's not just fly by the seat of your pants with Vince. It's, you know, whatever. It's everyone kind of has a purpose, and you kind of have seen that on Raw. I mean, I agree with you. I think if Punk's cleared, I think your main event, co-main event for SummerSlam is Punk, Rollins, and Drew McIntyre for the title. I assume Seth probably takes some time off after Mania. But yeah, I mean, it was a really well done show. I think, like I said, Raw, SmackDown have been very good, and we've almost got to the point now with Triple H in charge of the last 2 years, but I just, you know, last 18 months or so, that it's almost, I can't remember what it feels like to watch a bad episode of Raw. And so I think they've done a really good job. I don't like the tag team turmoil bullshit they've been doing for the match at WrestleMania, but other than that, I think the Raw's been really, really well done.
And I know one thing I've seen people talking about is this build up to the tag title or the tag team match at night one of WrestleMania that's main eventing, and obviously Cody and Roman at night two. But it seems like, and I've seen, I can understand this point. I don't have a problem with it, but it seems like you're almost building more at this point to a Cody Rock match rather than a Cody Roman match. But for me, at least, I don't think necessarily it's that big of a deal that it seems like it's more about Cody Roman or Cody Rock than Cody Roman, for the simple fact of, like kind of Chairman said, like, this is all about Cody. Cody is the guy. Cody is the number one babyface right now in all of pro wrestling, not just the WWE. So, I mean, to use his term, this is about his story. So I don't think it matters whether it's, it seems like we're getting more Cody Rock stuff than we are Cody Roman stuff. I mean, at this point, I'm convinced that Cody's winning the title, and they're kind of building to Cody Rock at SummerSlam, which is where I think they might be going. I don't think at this point, especially after this past Raw on Monday, you're going to get an angle where you're going to say, oh, well, Rock turned on Roman and Rock is all cool with Cody now. Obviously, that's not happening. So it seems like, you know, Cody Rock at whatever they call the Dog Pound now in Cleveland at SummerSlam is almost like the logical point where we're going with all of this. And I honestly don't think it's been distracting too much from the whole Cody Roman Reigns story, because like I said, I think in the end this is more about Cody's whole story and him going up against Rock and Roman. It doesn't matter who he's facing off against in these build-up promos. You feel the same way, Chairman?
Yeah, for sure, man. Yeah. Definitely. It's just, I don't know what's going to happen. We got, what, two SmackDowns left in a Raw? I mean, I think we're in for some big stuff next week.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, Rock is already advertised for Raw this coming Monday. I don't think Roman Reigns is advertised, but yeah, I 100% agree. Especially, I mean, you could see CM Punk there too. I mean, if I remember correctly, most wrestlers go right from the Raw after their last Raw before Mania to wherever the WrestleMania site is. And, you know, Brooklyn to Philly is not that far of a drive. I think it's only an hour or two. So I definitely could see if they're all going to be in town for that, that you could see a lot of people on Raw this coming Monday, especially because SmackDown is mostly used at that point for, like, you know, people that aren't left on the card or that aren't on the card. They get some kind of, like, I think they did both Battle Royals last year. They also, and then of course the Hall of Fame ceremony is right after SmackDown too. So, but Cam, what are your thoughts on the whole Cody Rock taking away from Cody Roman?
I mean, I understand the why isn't Roman doing what Rock's doing, but I think this is where we get both Cody and we both get Roman to that God status, superstar status, like above, like right now, current, present pro wrestling in the WWE. You got Rock, Roman, Seth Rollins, Drew McIntyre, blah, 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 LA Knight, blah, 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 blah. But to get Roman and to Cody to that Rock, Stone Cold, John Cena, Shawn Michaels level is what they're doing right now. And I think this elevates, especially if night two, Stone Cold and Cena are coming to fucking help Cody overtake the bloodline. That's where they get them both to that next plateau. And once they do that, and all of this is building up to it, and I think Cody knows that, I think Roman knows that, The Rock clearly has come back to, you know, really do what we've been wanting him to do for, what, 10 fucking years? Since the Cena stuff, but him kind of full-time, not full-time, but he's there, he's intertwining with other guys, and not just the top guys, even though Cody's a top guy, but I'm talking about the sense of that next level. And so I think it's been really well done, and I think come the night after WrestleMania, you know, that Raw, I think Roman Reigns and Cody Rhodes move into that upper echelon level to where they are engraved forever in pro wrestling.
Yeah, I mean, I'm kind of convinced that Roman might be taking almost a full year off after this coming WrestleMania. I mean, though if Seth Rollins takes time off too, I don't know exactly how they'll do it, but it's kind of a feeling I have. If not a full year, then at least till SummerSlam. And like I said, when we preview WrestleMania next week, it'll be interesting to see what our thoughts are and where things could be going moving forward after WrestleMania. But it's definitely a very well hyped up card. I mean, this is the most excited. I think we talked about it last year, how excited we were for WrestleMania. For me, I think I'm topping last year's level of excitement for WrestleMania. What about you, Chairman?
This is probably the most hyped I've been for Mania in a long time. I mean, the matches are just incredible. The programs have been built, you know, to excellence. I mean, Triple H pretty much has full control. I mean, we can definitely see it. You know, you bring in the final boss, The Rock, you know, including him. And he's not, you know, hurting anybody. I mean, he's part of the story. You know, he's elevating Cody. He's elevating Roman. You know, even Seth Rollins, the emoji clown. I mean, Becky and Rhea Ripley, you know, it's a match we've been kind of dreaming about. We're getting it finally. You know, Bayley's going to get her big story as well. She kind of gets forgotten about, but she has a great story with Damage Control. You know, and then you just talk about Gunther and Sami Zayn. You got Logan Paul. You got a whole bunch of, you know, stuff going on at WrestleMania this year. And it's going to be fun. I can't wait for the tonight.
Yeah, what about you, Cam?
I mean, I think that we're just riding like an all-time high right now in the WWE. I mean, years past doing this podcast, there's some matches we're excited about, but I think from top to bottom, both nights have done a great job. And I mean, there's going to be a lot of moments to be had and a lot of, I don't know. I just am really, really excited. And I think this is probably the most excited I've been since last year, but since the WrestleMania I actually went to live in person.
Yeah, it's definitely going to be a fun one. Like I said, I feel like this is getting the most hype. I mean, I see commercials for it all the time. You got Triple H is going to be on the Pat McAfee show, I think, at the Thursday or Friday at some point. So, yeah, I mean, it's getting a lot of pub. You're getting a lot of talk about it everywhere. I think it's going to be a very, very good weekend. I'm looking forward to seeing some of the indie shows that are taking place the coming weekend on the Thursday and Friday and Saturday afternoons leading into WrestleMania weekend. I'll be able to watch some of those because my girlfriend will be out of town, so I'll have a little bit of free time because I know she wouldn't want to watch them. So I'll probably be able to watch those a little bit, so that'll be fun. So, you know, that's WrestleMania time. We're going to get fully into WrestleMania next week, I should say, when we preview the actual card. A few other things to talk about as far as some small behind-the-scenes stuff goes. Since the last time we did the show, Ronda Rousey's been in the news, pretty much in her new, I believe, book, just calling things out left and right, like a bitter person who no longer has a job in the WWE, talking about things like, you know, going after Vince McMahon and John Laurinaitis for their court slimeballness. That's just fine. I'm not going to, you know, hate on her for saying that. But then kind of going out of things like, you know, saying how she despised everybody by the time she was done with her run and how she hated it. And it's like, it's fun. It's one of those things where, you know, she talked about like the old guard in WWE and how they used to be like, you know, all the sexist stuff that used to be for women, which, I mean, fine, but at the same time, it's like, you weren't around for any of that. I don't understand what you're trying to get out of it by putting it in your book. And then I just think, to me, she is coming off as somebody that, you know, she had a good, you know, her first run, her WrestleMania mixed tag match was good. And, you know, to be honest, her first run wasn't bad, you know, for the title. It's just, you know, once she came back and did that return at the Royal Rumble, everything just kind of fell completely flat with her. And nothing at all really felt like a big deal with her anymore. And it seemed like she went from enjoying it to not enjoying it at all. And I think, like I said on Twitter, it's like, it's kind of funny that once the money stops coming in from them and you're no longer, it's clear that you're no longer needed there. I don't think she would fit in with today's WWE, you know, work ethic at all. I don't think she was ever somebody that could carry a promo. I don't think she's somebody, she definitely needed a manager, but she was falling out of favor and people just did not care. I remember that whole Ronda Rousey, Shayna Baszler fight pit match that, when was that? SummerSlam, that people were just leaving in droves during it to go to the concession stand. And nobody cared about her. Like, you just felt that whole way. And Sorry, but part of that falls on Ronda Rousey for not trying to get better at all in any of her matches. I mean, her match with Charlotte Flair at WrestleMania, was it 2 years ago, was good. But guess what? Charlotte had a better match with Rhea the next year at WrestleMania. So, man, I don't know. Like, I was willing to give her a chance in WWE. Like I said, I thought her first run was fine. I mean, it wasn't great, but, you know, I thought she was, like, you know, new. She was over with the crowd. I was fine with it. Like, I didn't have any too much problem with it. But that whole second run just absolutely kind of squashed any kind of a goodwill I thought that she had. And now this, like, coming off as a bitter old ex-employee who, you know, like I said, the money's dried up, so now she's out here trying to, like, get people talking about her, especially coming from somebody who is a, you know, Sandy Hook conspiracy theorist and a bunch of other weird things about her. But, I mean, Chairman, you've been against Ronda Rousey for the start, so this is, you know, this is nothing new for you with thoughts on her, right?
Oh, absolutely. It's hilarious. Everyone's seeing the light finally. It's like, yeah, she's a terrible person who pretty much was handed the keys to the kingdom. And then now she's talking trash, like you said. Like, she didn't have to go through the NXT, you know, hurdles. She didn't have to do the independent wrestling. Yeah, she was a UFC fighter, but she barely used any of that stuff in the WWE ring because, you know, those other girls aren't part of that world except for Shayna Baszler and her two terrible friends that fizzed out real fast. But, yeah, it's just like, you know, she got pushed to the top, probably cost a few wrestlers their spots or opportunities. And, you know, I hate that stuff, you know. It's like, you know, people can say all their trash about Charlotte Flair and how she got shit handed to her. But, you know, grand scheme of things, she worked her ass off to get where she is. She earned her spot. You know, I mean, yeah, her dad helped get started and such. But you still got to put the work in. I mean, we've seen how many wrestlers' kids over the years not live up to the billing and fizzle out. I mean, hell, her brother David Flair was terrible. So that's just example A. I mean, there's tons of wrestlers' kids that didn't work out. So Charlotte puts in the work. Ronnie just gets handed everything because of who she is. And I don't know, she's just garbage. And glad to see her gone. Hopefully this keeps her out of the Hall of Fame. Hopefully we never see her again. And she just go be bitter on Twitter.
Yeah, I don't think she'll be in the Hall of Fame anytime soon. At least I hope not. But yeah, I mean, especially because I think she's even criticized Triple H now at this point, which, I mean, like you said, you know, Triple H and Kurt Angle and Stephanie McMahon pretty much choreographed that whole match with Ronda for her to get over. And I can remember talking, like, we talked about how great that match was at the time it happened. And it's one of those things, though, where you got to build and get better, and that nothing like that ever really happened with her. And once the aura of Ronda Rousey was gone, I don't think they were ever going to be able to keep the aura of her being like a prize fighter, like a Roman Reigns in the women's division type character. I just don't think that ever was going to be possible with her. And then once the shine of Ronda being, you know, the star around, and I'm sure she did play a part in getting the WrestleMania 35 main event with the women, which, you know, it's fine. But once that ended, after that, it just nothing ever really, at least to me, kind of worked with her. What are your thoughts, Cam, on all this Ronda stuff?
I mean, I agree. I think once she came back, she lost her luster. She didn't adapt. No one gave a shit. I mean, if you really feel this way, I mean, I'm sure a lot of people hate Vince, hate wrestling, come back to wrestling, blah, blah, blah. But, you know, she's just trying to shine her white light and try to be like super, you know, whatever. I don't know. Pour it on Vince McMahon. Like, yeah, he's a piece of shit. Like, yeah, way to state the obvious. Doesn't make you a good person, a cool person for stating the obvious. People like that are fucking stupid. Like, Vince is a bad person for what he did. Yeah, no shit. It is what it is. I mean, whatever. Like, I feel like she's just kind of stewing in her own whatever, just her own lack of not having fame anymore. Like, you know, she was baddest woman in the planet, was in movies, you know, came to WWE, was top star, and now she's kind of just existing and, you know, whatever. She seems like the kind of person that doesn't want, you know, she wants to live on a farm or whatever her deal is. So, you know, let her go live on a farm.
Yeah, her and her husband, also Travis Brown, who's also a big piece of shit in and of himself. So, you know, maybe they just live and work well together. So that's good for them. Yeah, I mean, we don't need her around anymore anytime soon. The women's division in the WWE is at an all-time high right now, I think, which is, you know, I mean, she couldn't hold a candle to Rhea Ripley right now if she wanted to try to come back. Hell, maybe Tony Khan will hire her over in AEW now that she trashed Vince McMahon and all that stuff. She probably Tony's probably gonna call one day at like 3 a.m. and be like, "Hey, you want to come over here and we'll give you a live mic or something like that." You know, now she's got, you know, Mercedes Moné, which apparently has the highest women's contract ever in pro wrestling, but it's not translating really to anything yet as far as the ratings go there. But not that much to talk about AEW. I believe since the last time we talked, Adam Copeland has won the TNT Championship, which I believe what Chairman and I talked about beforehand. I just, that whole match, I mean, I watched it. I actually ended up getting home early from bowling that night. I was able to watch it live, and I just did not like that match at all. I mean, you know, the Christian and his family getting tied up in the end. It's almost like one of those things where if it was done with a WWE sticker on it, people would hate it. And man, I don't know. Is this Adam Copeland run chairman in TNT kind of being a big negative for him rather than the positive he thought it would be?
I mean, we kind of talked about this the last time. It just hasn't clicked. Like, he looks rough, for one. I don't know. It's just weird. I mean, but I just feel like he's had programs with Christian. It's like, I can go on Peacock and watch him and Christian feud, you know, but I mean, I'm sure it's something they both want to do towards the end of their careers, whatever, fine. But it just feels like, it's kind of like that, it's like I said the last time, it's like that old washed up, you know, NFL, NBA player that goes plays that final season for another team because they have to keep the light going. And it's like, really, man, you probably should have just walked away and tarnished your legacy. Cause like, cool, you're TNT champion for AEW, but I mean, look how many TNT champions there's been, and half more forgettable, and their reigns have been forgettable, and AEW itself just needs a lot of work. And I just don't see where he's elevating anybody. I mean, he's elevating Christian Cage right now in a feud. Well, Christian Cage has been around as long as him. It's like, they're just, it's weird. It's weird to me. At least Christian's elevating some of the young guys around him, but what's Adam Copeland doing? Now he's got a championship? It's just weird to me.
Yeah, it's like, it's as weird as that. It's like the complete 180 compared to what Sting did, where Sting's been, and of course, Sting is much more of a legend than Edge, Adam Copeland, but Sting helped Darby Allin. He worked with a bunch of other young guys, and it just seems like Adam Copeland thought he would be a bigger deal in AEW than what he's become. What about you, Cam? You were on last week when we were talking about the Adam Copeland Christian Cage TNT title match. What are your thoughts?
I mean, I don't want to like shit all over Edge too much, even though like I wasn't like the biggest fan of him anyways. Like, you know, as his WWE career, he was always kind of like whatever to me, and I think that this is an example of the company being bigger than the athlete. I mean, CM Punk wins AEW and shifted the numbers for them. Adam Copeland shows up and Collision's doing fucking 1,000 people and all this stuff. So, I mean, nothing to take away from him. I thought, you know, him and the Christian match, I thought was pretty good. And I think that they're trying to get some legs out of Copeland. He probably signed a fucking big fat contract to come in and do some matches. And, you know, AEW is kind of just whatever. I think outside of the Young Bucks and Okada stuff, I mean, sure, the main event stuff's good too, but I think everything else has just been kind of whatever. And, you know, AEW, it is what it is. I think they're in a fucking holding pattern until MJF decides what he's going to do.
Yeah, I mean, maybe they're holding off things to say, you know, WrestleMania is getting the big attention right now, but who knows with them. We'll see what happens to them after WrestleMania season. But that's a lot, like I said, not a lot of news this week, but we definitely wanted to give you a show and do something as far as WrestleMania retrospective like we like to do pretty much every year. So what I came up with this week is, like I said, it's called WrestleMania by the Decade, and before you get on me, yes, I know WrestleMania 1 through 9 is only 9 years, not a decade. Go fuck yourself, I don't care. Basically, I picked a bunch of different stuff from these WrestleManias 1 through 9, and I wanted to do something different for each decade. So let's just get right into it. So for WrestleMania 1 through 9, we'll start with best Hulk Hogan match. Chairman, I'll go to for you first on this one. Which match did you pick?
Well, we all know Hulk Hogan wasn't a 5-star match wrestler by any means, so I thought this category was kind of funny. But, I mean, WrestleMania was Hulk Hogan. I mean, he was the big draw. He was the main event of most of them. I mean, if not all of them, I don't remember. But, you know, you got a couple options if you want to pick one. I mean, for me, I would pick the match against Ultimate Warrior for WrestleMania 6. You know, Hogan was the world champion. Warrior was Intercontinental champion. Warrior was the up-and-coming guy. And it's weird that, you know, we're picking the – best Hulk Hogan match when Hogan loses to the Warrior, but I was old enough to realize at the time how big this match was. I mean, some of the other WrestleManias, I was pretty much very, very young. I mean, this one I wasn't too bad, so. And I just remember that being huge, and people still talk about that match a lot, so for me, that's where I'm going.
Yeah, for me, you can look at it for a couple different perspectives. If you have talked about the most historically significant, you're probably looking at WrestleMania 3 with Andre. You know, the blow off to the Mega Powers feud at WrestleMania 5 with Randy Savage, I thought was really good as well. But yeah, I'm going to go with WrestleMania 6. I mean, you got your three, you got your two fan favorites here. You know, the two biggest stars of the 90s, you know, or two biggest stars, I should say, of the era at that time going head to head. Your first real babyface versus babyface main event big match like that that we've ever seen in WWF, to the best of my knowledge. You know, that is where it's at. Like I said, it was a match laid out, choreographed, you know, to perfection with those guys. The drama and the loud crowd in the Sky Dome was great. So I'm going to go WrestleMania 6 for me. Chairman, are you going to go, or sorry, Cam, are you going to go a clean sweep here?
Yeah, I mean, you go back and watch some of these Hogan matches or even look at the run times, and you're like, holy shit, like 8 minutes. It is what it is. I think everything you guys said, it was the best match. It was kind of like whenever Cena has the right opponent type of thing. You know what I mean? Like when they have the right guy in there with them, they can look like they have a pretty solid match. And this was, I guess, you know, the best of what they had. You know, like you said, Justin, about WrestleMania 3 with Andre, but that was barely a wrestling match. And WrestleMania 1 was barely, like, it was whatever. It's more of a spectacle. So I guess this was, like, the best quote-unquote match.
All right, so that will now take us to WrestleMania 1 through 9. We'll do now best show. For me, there's always two shows that come to mind with this. I mean, for me, WrestleMania 7 hits the nostalgic factor for me kind of perfectly. There's nothing really great outside of the Macho Warrior match, so I like that one. But I think I'm gonna have to end up going overall with WrestleMania 8. WrestleMania 8 was always like one of my, what I consider an underrated WrestleMania when people ask me about it. You've got a great WWE title match between Ric Flair and Randy Savage. You've got Piper versus Bret Hart for the Intercontinental title. I always talk about it on the show, how this show, WrestleMania 8 1992, starts with three guys that would go on to lead the WWF, and Shawn Michaels, Undertaker, and Bret Hart in the 90s, being put over by three guys that used to lead the WWF in the 80s with Tito Santana, Jake Roberts, and Roddy Piper. So I always like to look back on that little key nostalgia right there. So and you know, get the cool return of the Ultimate Warrior at the end of the show, too, which I think is great. So for me, in this era, I'm going to go WrestleMania 8 with my favorite of the bunch from 1 through 9. Which one are you going to go with, Cam?
I mean, I'm going with 8, too. I mean, you get a Shawn Michaels match in there, kind of like the beginning of his singles run. You get, you know, Macho Man and Flair, like you talked about. I think that 8 is probably, until we get to, like, the 90s, I think 8 is probably the best one overall, because a lot of it's just Vince and company trying to figure it out. And then they needed more star power, because some of these WrestleManias, you know, like WrestleMania 5, it's like a singles tournament for the title, but it's a bunch of fucking nobodies, and it's just, it is what it is. But yeah, 8's definitely the best one.
All right, Chairman, are you going to make this category a clean sweep too?
I'm going to go 3. I mean, just because it has the Macho Man Ricky Steamboat match. I mean, that's probably one of my favorite early era matches. And, of course, you mentioned before the Hogan-Andre match. Yeah, it wasn't much of a match. It was more of a spectacle. But, you know, people will still talk about Hogan body slamming Andre. It's still an iconic moment. So, I guess, you know, maybe the car quality doesn't stack up to some of the others in that era. But I think those two matches are kind of pillars, for so to speak. So, that's my pick.
Yeah, and if you listen to Hulk Hogan, it seems like the weight of Andre the Giant goes up every single time after he slammed him, whether it's 500, 800, or 1,000 pounds, you know, just continuously goes up every single time you hear Hulk Hogan talk about it. Maybe if I run into him in his beach house when I go down to his clear, or his, whatever it is, beach bar, when I go down to Florida at the end of April, I'll ask him to see how much he actually weighed. All right, now this will lead us to, for the last of this category, the worst show of these WrestleManias. This one's starting with you, Cam. What are you going with?
I'm going to go with 9. I mean, this is one of the first ones I actually like have vivid memories of, like, watching and remembering, oh, it's in Las Vegas. Like, I live like not that far. Oh, I wish I could have went. But you know, the Undertaker match fucking with Giant Gonzalez, like, whatever, you know, disqualification. You got Shawn Michaels and Tanaka, they went, or excuse me, Tatanka went 20 minutes for the IC title count out. So Vince just went dusty finish for all the main events. And of course you had Yoko and Brett and then Hogan. And just cause Hogan and Brett hated each other and all that stuff that went along with it. I don't know. It is what it is to me. I mean, like, it was probably one of, I mean, it visually looked cool. You know, it was like a nice small atmosphere. It's Vegas, you know, it looks cool, but the show overall was just terrible.
All right, Chairman, which one's your pick?
You know, there's a lot of these that are kind of shit, honestly, you know, in the early days. I mean, I would almost consider two be right up there, too. I mean, you have three different cities. That one sucked, but Night was so damn terrible because the whole, like, weird togas, that was weird. That main event was complete dog shit. You know, the classic Hogan had to freaking come out there and steal Bret Hart's thunder, and I could beat Yoko with a freaking, what? Oh, it's terrible. I still hate it to this day. So, and then he literally drops the title like a month later, and then he goes off to whatever. So, it's just gross.
Yeah, I mean, for me, it came down to 9 or 2. I know some people say 4, but at least 4, even though the matches were short, like, every match had a meaning because it was a tournament for the title, and I'm a sucker for tournaments, so I couldn't put 4 on there. But, yeah, I'm going with WrestleMania 2. I mean, there's nothing... At least with 9, as crappy as it was, you can say, well, I remember it for WrestleMania, you know, for Hogan winning the title at the end. You know, WrestleMania 2, you don't remember anything for it outside the fact that it was in 3 cities, and that doesn't mean much when it comes down to it. So I'm not really counting that as anything. I mean, Hogan Bundy is probably the worst of Hulk Hogan's matches. I mean, like, what, the biggest thing from that is the Mr. T Roddy Piper boxing match is, ugh, bad. So I'm putting WrestleMania 2 on that list as far as the worst WrestleManias 1 through 9. All right, so this leads us now to 10 through 19. Let's start with the best main event of this decade. Back over to you, Chairman, first. Who are you going with?
This was hard. This was really hard because there is a lot of awesome main events. But I feel like it's probably maybe a little personal bias because this WrestleMania event took place on my birthday. That would be WrestleMania 14, Stone Cold versus Shawn Michaels. It was a passing of the torch, so to speak, because obviously this was Michaels' last match for how many years? And you brought in Mike Tyson. So, like, the whole build was just phenomenal, the DX stuff, and Stone Cold was on the rise. And this was Stone Cold's first title victory. It's pretty cool because at that time, you know, Stone Cold was my favorite wrestler. He won his first championship on my birthday, and then Seth Rollins won his first championship on my birthday. It's kind of cool having a late March birthday because of WrestleMania will fall on it sometimes. So that's my pick. There's a lot of good ones, though.
Yeah, there definitely is. I mean, you can go, like, the technical aspect of Angle Brock Lesnar from 19, you know, the craziness of the Fatal 4-Way from WrestleMania 16, you know, Shawn Michaels carrying Diesel to a great main event at WrestleMania 11. But I think just I'm going with WrestleMania 17, Austin versus Rock, Astrodome. Sold out, you know, the first large, big dome WrestleMania show since WrestleMania, technically 8, I guess, in the Hoosier Dome. You know, the two biggest stars in pro wrestling at the time. Just everything about that seems so big. You know, Austin turning heel at the end was kind of lame. But, I mean, just that whole, you know, it's like the culmination of the Attitude Era, I think. You know, I remember talking about that with our old co-host Matt once, where I thought this was the culmination of the Attitude Era, and he argued that it went on to, like, they changed to WWE, which I don't agree with. But I mean, the whole show, WrestleMania 17, is generally considered one of the greatest of all time, and this main event, the memorableness of it, I think, goes to show you just how memorable it was. So I'm taking Austin Rock from WrestleMania 17. Which one are you gonna go with, Cam?
See, I had 17 written down too, just to see. I assume one of the two you were going to take it. So my backup plan, just to be different, I'm going to go Shawn Michaels, Stone Cold WrestleMania 14.
Mike Tyson, everything involved with it. I thought it was a great match. You know, I think everything going around that time was pretty fantastic as far as the main event scene goes. But 17 definitely was fantastic too.
All right, that leads us now to the worst WrestleMania main event of this decade. I think it comes down to two, whether you want to. So it comes down to, at least for me, WrestleMania 10 between Bret Hart and Yokozuna, and WrestleMania 13 for Sid and Undertaker. I think I have to go with Sid Undertaker for this one. I mean, it goes on for over 20 minutes, and it's one of those matches where whose bright idea? I want to look up the time real quick, but I feel like I just recently watched this match, and it felt like it was going on for 30 minutes. But man, I mean, it's so funny. You know, you ever want trivia? Sid is the only person whose only WrestleMania appearances were both main events. WrestleMania 8 and WrestleMania 13 are Sid's two WrestleMania appearances, and they were both main events. Which is just crazy when you go to think about it. It's like a trivia question you can throw out there for a stat at some point. But yeah, I mean, this match was just bad. It was bland. It was boring. It was, like I said, long. As much as I love Sid, it was just not good. Yeah, 21 minutes and 20 seconds. Somebody thought that was a good idea. So yeah, that at least Bret Yoko at 10 was short. So WrestleMania 13 gets my list there. What about you, Cam? Which one you picking?
Oh, man, I'm going to go with WrestleMania 11. I mean, I think at WrestleMania 11, they were kind of – I don't think WrestleMania 11 was very good to begin with. They ran the Hartford Center, so, you know, fucking what they're doing for, like, an NXT pay-per-view or a Raw or SmackDown is where they had Mania. I mean, even though Lawrence Taylor, I think, looked good, you know, he was – at the time, it's like if Micah Parsons or Nick Bosa or somebody like that came into the WWE and wrestled the match. So I understand the fame portion of everything, but I don't think him and Bam Bag definitely should not have been headlining. So I'm just going worse because I just think, I mean, I think we've talked about this before, like years ago, we've kind of done something similar heading into WrestleMania. But yeah, I think they had no business. I think WrestleMania 11 was terrible to begin with and should just be erased from history.
Wow, you just reminded me that HBK Diesel was not the main event of that show. That's how I completely forgot about that one. But I would still pick WrestleMania 13 over that, just personal preference. Chairman, which one's yours?
Yeah, I'm with Cam. 11? Dog shit. Like, I don't even remember the match. I remember more Lawrence Taylor was in the stands and Bam Bam pushed him and he started crying like a little baby. Like, how is that main event over Diesel and Shawn Michaels? It blows my mind. Like the whole placement of that. I mean, we are in the new generation era at this period, and it's like forgettable, horrible. And this WrestleMania is just one critical piece. It's like Cam's at Hartford, really? Really? You look at some of the places they had some of these pay-per-views back in the day, and you just laugh your ass off.
Where did I watch it? In Your House from the other day? Somewhere, maybe it was Syracuse, and it like just looked like the weirdest arena you ever seen. It's like, really, you used to have pay-per-views here and like it was 96? And yep. All right, so that leaves us with the last category in the part of the decade, MVP of WrestleMania's 10 through 19. So MVP of the decade. Cam, I'll let you start with this one. Who are you going with?
I mean, for me, I'm going Shawn Michaels. I mean, he made Diesel look good. I mean, that blow-off feud when Diesel was Shawn's muscle, that match, you know, you had the Iron Man match with Bret, you had Stone Cold. I mean, I think that Shawn Michaels is Mr. WrestleMania for a reason. And even his earlier matches, you know, the match with Tatanka was, what, 94, something like that. So you could already see the makings of it. But yeah, so I think it's Shawn Michaels. You know, I think there, you can make argument for a couple guys, but I'm going to go with Shawn Michaels.
All right, Cam, who you going with? Or Chairman, sorry, who you going with?
This was tough. I had two guys. Shawn was one of them. And, you know, if he wouldn't have got injured and missed, like, the back half, he might have been the guy. But I feel Stone Cold, for me, is the pick because, yeah, obviously he wasn't there in the first few WrestleManias of the run we're talking about. But, and sure, he had a strap match when he was Savio Vega, whatever. But the match of Bret Hart was probably one of the best matches under the WWE banner, period. Like, awesome. One of my favorite matches. But then, you know, he had a lot of main events. You know, the Shawn Michaels match we talked about earlier. You know, we talked about a couple of matches with The Rock. And, you know, Shawn Michaels, you know, he's a great performer and all that, but Stone Cold was pretty much the face of the Attitude Era. You know, he was the guy that was pretty much going toe to toe with WCW. Like, people watch Stone Cold. You know, they turn the channel, you know, to see what Stone Cold is going to do to Vince next week, or Rock, or DX, or whoever. So, like, I feel like he's the MVP of that era, but there's definitely some good answers all around.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's one. To me, I think, like I said, I think there's three. There's Austin, there's HBK, and I think you can make a case for The Rock as well, given his, you know, his main eventing 15, 16, 17, you know, facing Hogan at 18, and also facing Austin again at 19. But I think it comes down to HBK, Austin, and I think I'm going to, as much as I love Shawn Michaels, I'm leading, leading Stone Cold as well. I guess, like Chairman said, 13 puts him on the map. 14, he becomes the man. He main events 15. He's not there at 16, but, you know, he's such a huge part of 17, and then his career coming to, you know, somewhat of an end at 90, his full-time in-ring career. I think I have to go ahead and give it, especially because he was the guy on the top during the business boom. So I think in the end, he gets a little bit of a little bit of a nudge there over Shawn Michaels for me. So that ends the 10 through 19 era. That moves us over to the 20 to 29 era. So let's start with best John Cena match of the 20 to 29 era. I will go over to you, Chairman, first for this one. Who you taking?
Oh, I had to do some deep diving on that one. But when it all was said and done, I mean, we talked about Mr. WrestleMania plenty of times already. So I go with WrestleMania 23, John Cena, Shawn Michaels. They had that weird tag team title run going into this, too. I mean, but the match was phenomenal for a Cena match. You know, HBK pushed him. So, in my book, that's where I go.
Yeah, I think for me it comes down to either that match, like you said, right there, or his first WrestleMania 28 match with The Rock. So I think I'm going to go ahead and go with you. That is the Shawn Michaels match, though. You know, The Rock match was, again, a spectacle. It was good. But at the same time, it really, you know, technical-wise, it wasn't that good. And the next match, the next year, wasn't that much better. But I think this match, was, like you said, was kind of like the peak. I remember really wanting Shawn Michaels to win this match, obviously, going into it. I was like, okay, you know, it's finally, they're going to knock off Cena, not keep him on the top anymore. But sure enough, he ends up winning. You know, the funny thing is, in the end, I think they actually had a little bit of a better match. I think it was maybe a month later at Raw in England. But this match, as far as John Cena's WrestleMania career goes, is his best. So I'm going to go ahead and pick this one. Cam, are you going to make it a sweep here?
Yeah, funny enough, you sent us the questions when I was skimming over them, I wrote down right away Cena, HBK. I mean, I think you can make an argument for the first Rock match, but, you know, it was kind of more everyone hit all their spots type of thing. I think Cena, like, again, got pushed. When Cena's in there with, you know, back then with Edge, with Shawn Michaels, you know, later on with CM Punk, and when he was in there with AJ Styles, et cetera, he can have fantastic matches. And I think, you know, I went kind of watched about 5-6 minutes of this match earlier today on my phone while I was at work. And I was like, you know, Cena really, this is one of those moments where you saw, okay, Cena can have good matches. He doesn't have to have fucking Hulk Hogan matches. He can have these really good wrestling matches. And I agree with you, Chairman. I thought they were going to give Shawn that one last run, but they didn't. And we all hated Cena more. But yeah, it was a really, really good pay-per-view, or excuse me, really good match.
All right, so now let's go over to best celebrity appearance of this decade. For me, I'm going to go to the Floyd Mayweather Big Show match from WrestleMania 24. I think, you know, the build up, it was kind of a cool build up to it with, you know, Big Show confronting Floyd and Floyd laying him out with a punch and then legit breaking his nose and chasing off Floyd Mayweather. And, you know, the match itself wasn't bad. You know, Floyd Mayweather played his part, you know, whatever, I forgot, you know, however much they paid him, they called him. But it was, it was one of those situations where the celebrity match actually ended up working out for the good. You know, it's a spectacle, you know, people like to boo Floyd Mayweather. Big Show did his part, you know, David versus Goliath. So I'm going with the Floyd Mayweather Big Show match from WrestleMania 24. What are you going with, Cam?
Yeah, I'm going actually with the same thing. I think it was the best utilization of anyone for that. You know, I skimmed through, like, okay, who appeared at this time during these years? And I'm like, no, we're going with Floyd because Floyd understands money. He understood what to do, and it was easily the best thing they had happen.
All right, Chairman, are you going to make it a clean sweep on this one?
Well, I'm definitely not picking the guy that was in a freaking hair versus hair match. Fuck that guy. I'm picking Floyd. You know, Floyd put the work in. You know, he made appearances to build up to WrestleMania. And, you know, it's kind of weird, you know, there wasn't a whole lot of celebrities that really stood out during this kind of window that you gave us versus, like, nowadays we're used to celebrities galore nowadays, you know, Logan Paul, Bad Bunny, you know, who else? I mean, there's a lot of appearances lately, but, like, Stephen Amell, but, like, nowadays it's like back in that window, no one really stands out. Floyd did, you know, Floyd got heat. He almost made people cheer for the Big Show, which is kind of funny itself. So that's my pick.
All right, and then the last pick for this decade is worst WWE title match. This goes over to you, Cam, to start. Which match you picking?
Oh, man, during these years, there was a lot of redundancy as far as the WWE title goes, and a lot of Triple H matches, a lot of Randy Orton matches, and that's kind of the where I'm leading you. I was looking at some of the matches and I'm like, okay, there's some decent main event or WWE title matches going on through these years, but there was also some pretty bad ones. And I think I just got tired of Randy Orton and Triple H being in the ring together. So I'm going WrestleMania 25. I just tired of it. Tired of Triple H being in the main event at WrestleMania. And I'm glad he's in the position he is in now.
All right, Chairman, who are you going with?
Yeah, it's just funny you mentioned that. Cause I literally just watched Judgment Day 2008, and I had to see Triple H and Randy Orton. I'm like, fuck, this feels never gonna end. And I got it all the way to WrestleMania 25. Oh man, pray for me. But I'm actually not picking those guys. It's funny that we talked about best John Cena match. Well, now it's time for the worst John Cena match. It's not really John Cena's fault, but his opponent is a complete D-bag, and we're all very happy that he won the title from him. So WrestleMania 21, John Cena, JBL, gross, gross, gross.
All right, I'm actually going to make it not a clean sweep here, which is the first category that we've had this where we've actually all had different answers, it looks like. For me, I'm going to go ahead and pick WrestleMania 27, Cena and The Miz, because I was there in person for it, and it was bad. It was my first WrestleMania, so, I overlooked it a little bit because I was so pumped for it and I was so Cena hating and, you know, I was pumped The Miz won because I thought for sure he was going to lose. But at the same time, you go back and watch it now, that match is just not very good at all. Miz was concussed in the last, like, 5 minutes of it and doesn't remember anything from it. You just remember seeing the glazed over look on his face. So I'm going to go ahead and pick WrestleMania 27, Miz versus Cena for the worst WWE title match there. So that leads us now to the last decade here, 30 to 39. So we're going to go ahead and start with, let's do the most disappointing match we'll start with first. So, Chairman, back over to you. Which one are you picking?
I had a couple that came to mind, but I think the big one for me was Dean Ambrose, Brock Lesnar from WrestleMania 32, because Lunatic Fringe Dean Ambrose was unhinged, and I think he would have done some cool shit with Lesnar, but unfortunately Lesnar didn't want to play ball. He pretty much didn't give a shit. The match was terrible, ruined everything, and he just felt really bad because, you know, that could have been a big moment for Dean Ambrose, who was on the up and ups, but Lesnar just said, no, not today, son.
Yeah, that match, not good, was on my list. I'm going to go WrestleMania 34, AJ Styles versus Shinsuke Nakamura. I mean, that match was so hyped up from, you know, everybody talked about what they did in Japan and thought maybe they could redo it in WWE, but something just did not click. And then that whole feud just ended up not clicking at all that whole time. So it ended up being a disappointing ending there. So, yeah, I mean, I remember all my friends psyched for it, and then we just kind of watched her like, yeah, it was fine, but that definitely wasn't anything we were expecting to you know, live up to. So I'm going with AJ and Nakamura from 34. What match are you going with, Cam?
For me, I wrote down Brock, Dean Ambrose, because even the build-up, like, Dean was putting his heart and fucking soul in that. It was like a Raw where he went and got the hot dog thing and all this stuff, you know, he was just going around trying to make it work, and Brock just didn't give a shit. But I'm going to go 31. I'm going to go with the WrestleMania I went to, and because I'm going to go with Bray Wyatt, Undertaker. I mean, at this point, Undertaker has lost his streak. Bray Wyatt is the fucking hottest thing in pro wrestling. Everyone loves Bray Wyatt. And instead of just, you know, saying, screw it, Taker, you've lost at this point, let's put Bray over too, because at this point, your streak doesn't matter anymore. But they don't do that. And I'm only going with this because I didn't like the finish. I didn't like the way it ended all abruptly. You know, I never read anything about if Bray or Undertaker were hurt or anything in the match, but I just didn't like it. I think it was a moment to really elevate Bray Wyatt at that time, and they didn't do it.
All right, so let's go over now to the best entrance from WrestleMania 30 to 39. For me, I'm going to WrestleMania 31 to Rusev entering on a tank. I mean, that was just fucking phenomenal. I remember, again, my friends and I watching it, and we're just like, holy shit, is he actually coming out on a fucking tank to, like, you know, the Soviet national anthem? It was hilarious. You know, it was the peak of Rusev in WWE. Didn't get much better for him after that, I don't think. So, I mean, to me, just him seeing him come out there on that tank the whole time, it was just such, you know, over-the-top hilariousness that I thought it was great. So I'm going to pick that one for my favorite entrance. What are you going with, Cam?
I mean, there's some pretty decent ones, but I couldn't really find something that really blew me away. So I was going to go Rusev, too. I mean, one of those times where, you talk about Bray Wyatt, Rusev, another guy where it's like, okay, we could really elevate this guy, but we're just not going to ever fucking do it. They gave him the super cool entrance, but typically if you get the super badass entrance at WrestleMania, that means you're going to lose your match. So that's unfortunately, you know, what happened for Rusev's basically entire WWE run. And hey, at least, you know, in the WWE, he was on TV, unlike AEW, where he just doesn't ever be on TV.
No, back in Bulgaria and divorced from Lana now, too. So sucks for him. Chairman, you going to make it a clean sweep here?
Well, I am going to pick that WrestleMania 31, but I'm going a different direction, going with the Triple H Terminator entrance, because I think the Terminator's badass, and I was like, holy shit, this is a cool entrance. And the one before that, you know, with the King of Kings entrance from 30 was cool, too. Triple H was a great entrance guy, so that was my selection. WrestleMania 31, you know, is considered one of my favorites. There's a lot of cool shit, a lot of cool entrances.
All right, that leads us to the last category here, our last topic for this decade, and the last one of this little game we played here. Best women's match of this decade. Cam, you're going to start with us on this one. What are you going with?
I think there was a couple you could choose from, but I feel like ultimately the match that kind of defines where women's wrestling is in general in the WWE and kind of across, maybe a little spread out in AEW, I'm going to go with 32. I mean, you've got Becky, Sasha, Charlotte. I mean, those were the cream of the crop as far as WWE wrestling goes for women. I think it really elevated all of the women and kind of elevated them to the point where they could headline WrestleManias, they can main event different pay-per-views, and the sky's the limit for them now.
All right, Chairman, which one are you going with?
It may be recency bias, but I'm going with last year, Rhea Ripley, Charlotte Flair. Like, I don't know, something about that match. It was just like edge of my seat, called it a match of the year candidate. Like, those two women came to play. And then I think read something, Ronnie's little rants, that they were told to cut the match short, you know, and Charlotte pretty much put her quote-unquote big dick on the table and said, we're going to go and keep going, you know. So, you know, kudos to those two for doing that, because it elevated both of them, and Rhea's obviously on a run that's insane right now. And, you know, she might surpass that with Becky Lynch, you know, next weekend. We'll find out, but that's gonna be a tall task to beat that match, but I think they can do it. I think Rhea and Becky can do it.
All right, and then I'm just going to add some variety here. It's one of the matches I had too, but I'm going to go ahead and add a little bit of difference here with it and go to WrestleMania 38, Becky versus Bianca. I mean, just a great match, you know, Becky being the heel, putting over Bianca. Kind of like Rhea Charlotte, and the match just continuously kept getting better and better and better as it went on. You know, put Bianca over, it made Bianca a star. So I'm going to go ahead and give that my nod as far as the favorite women's match of this decade. And that is going to be our show for this week. We will be back here next week to preview WrestleMania 40. We will talk about both nights of the card. Hopefully you know what's going to be when during the preview of the show. But the biggest show of the year, and we'll be here to preview it for you. So for my co-host Cam and the chairman Steven Vincent, I am Justin C. signing off, and we will talk to you guys then.